Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by Right Fit Sport and Wellness, Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Global Schoolwear by Tommy Hilfiger. Hey, everybody, I got a heads up I wanted to share with everybody right at the top of the show here. I'm excited to announce I'm joining the legendary public relations, Bruce Marin, and his Celebrity Speakers Bureau. He's celebrating his 46th year. Bruce's clients are a who's who list of speakers from every aspect of our society, from presidents to celebrities to experts and educators, and sports stars are no exception. His initial clients were Muhammad Ali, Jackie Robinson. The Sports Doctors in Topics will be catering to your group's specific needs and wants, will include my array of all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness with Q&A sessions. Bruce Marin, CelebritySpeakers.com, 702-367-0331. We've got a great doubleheader today. Lou Vickery, former Yankees and Cardinals pitcher. His pitching coach was Whitey Ford. He's a multiple book author, radio, and TV host, and he is the co-author of the new Winning the Head Game. He returns, along with his co-author, Sonny Smith, famed former head basketball coach at Auburn University, Virginia Tech, and East Tennessee, and he's now the color analyst for Auburn basketball, and the Sports Doctor is in. Lou Vickery, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Dr. Bob. And by the way, congratulations on that speaking bureau. That's great.
Oh, thank you. We'll see how it goes. I'm very excited about it. You know, I know you've done your share, Lou, to say the least. Lou, give us some quickie background on you, your various careers leading to your exciting new book.
Well, Dr. Bob, I like to tell everyone I've had four distinct careers. A professional baseball player, then I've coached a year, but couldn't make enough money doing that, so I went to the business world with Merrill Lynch. I wasn't exactly my cup of tea. I did it 4 years. Then I got involved in the training and development business. I did it all over the country for 29 years, retired, and then became a radio show host. As you well know, you were a regular with us, and I did that for 14 years. So, hey, if you total all that up, I'm an old-timer, Doc.
I hear you. I hear you, Lou. And, you know, it's interesting. And now your new career is in the whole world of sports medicine education, mentally and physically, right? We're on that same team. Yes, I was an honored guest. Lou's famous show, Lou in the Morning, out of the Florida-Alabama area. And for about 3 years, once a month, the Sports Doctor showed up with our The Sports Doctors In segment. So it was a great time we had with that. And again, having made the major leagues in sports, you know, pitching for two legendary franchises like the Yankees and Cardinals, well aware of what it takes to get there, well aware of so many different areas mentally. You've been like a mental coach in the business world, I think, your whole life. So talk about what got you excited about teaming up with the famous Sonny Smith with your new book, Winning the Head Game.
Yeah, you know, I found that you can get talented kids that they could at all levels. There are kids in the high school that throw just as hard as kids in pro baseball. But where the difference comes, Dr. Bob, is what happens in the 6 inches above the shoulders. That's where you determine just how effective you're going to be. And so when Sonny and I sat down to talk about this, we did that several years ago, we started making notes, and I'm really excited about our book. The reception has been really good. It's a little different in the sense that the first three chapters are somewhat of an autobiography of Sonny, about his background growing up and how he got to where he is today. But the thing that's really, I think, makes a difference is that if you really look at, from an athletic standpoint, if you really want to be good, then you need to make sure that you get it right and what you do from the shoulders up. And I keep emphasizing that to young players. You know, you just can't go through the motion. If you want to be good, really good, then you have to pay the price of doing the kind of things that's necessary to develop not only your physical attributes, but obviously your mental attributes.
It's a topic for over two decades on the Sports Dr. Lou. You know, I've always called it the mental game. Whether you're a superstar, whether you're a coach, whether you're the parents of athletes, whether you're the young athletes themselves, whether it's somebody trying to stick to an exercise program, somebody's trying to be the best they could be, the mental game is a very, very big deal. It's amazing how over the past two decades, it's gotten such tremendous new attention. And you guys really, really talk about everything from discipline to attitude to habits. People listen people like yourself who pitched at the major league level and Sonny, who's worked with some of the best athletes at all these different levels over his illustrious career. And, you know, Lou, when I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and you and I on your show, we talked about the epidemic with capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries. I always included the mental side, whether it was the ranting, raving parents on the sideline or the overzealous coaches or half these kids living on over-the-counter pain medicine because they're playing year-round. Now, of course, you down in that part of the country were able to talk a lot about, you know, baseball being played year-round and how we were seeing these incredible metamorphoses. These kids are twice as big and twice as strong. Isn't it amazing? All those years ago, there was one, two guys in the majors who threw in the mid-90s. Now you got five guys on every team.
Yeah, that's great.
So, you know, the athlete has dramatically grown, and the idea of getting back to these real basics that, you know, you talk about in the book. I don't know, what have you written, 15 books, Lou?
Yeah, this is number 15, right.
Oh, I hit the number on the head. Is the book officially out now?
It is. It's out. And, Doc, I want to mention we have just established a website. You can get the book at Amazon, but the website is winheadgame.com. You can get an autographed copy there. I tell you what, we've been going so fast we can't hardly keep up. So if you do order an autographed copy,
it's an attractive, yes. It's a very, very exciting topic. It couldn't be more topical than it is when we watched the Olympics and we saw the best in the world dealing with mental health, mental challenges. My late, great sports psychologist friend, Dr. Lou Vickery, almost the same name as you, who for years talked about the fact that you could train the mental side of things. You could, you know, be able to enhance your ability to pay attention to all of these things. You make a big deal to both of you guys in the book that these are things athletes really can work on and get better at.
That's correct. You know, one of the chapter titles is Brains in Your Muscles. You know, and if you stop to think about it, that's one of the keys and ability to develop your physical skills is that you do it over and over, but it's important that you do it right. You know, they make sure that perfect practice is going to lead to a perfect performance or close to it. You can subscribe to that, but the fact of the matter is you probably won't always reach it. But I think that's the key factor is that you find out what it takes to really move yourself toward been an elite athlete.
Yeah, it's really an incredible topic. Everybody, you are listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and see who was on, what were the topics, listen to whatever you would like. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read an endless array on every topic under the sun, from concussions to what's the best shoe to all the different new exciting things we're doing with MVP Parent Magazine. And one of my most popular articles, which is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. We have tens of thousands of followers on Twitter and LinkedIn. I can't tell you how many guests I get from those platforms. So if you want, we have a lot of great information in the whole world of fitness, wellness, sports medicine at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Lou Vickery. Lou, what are you doing now? Are you doing a TV show now?
Yeah, well, I was doing a TV show until COVID came along, but I backed off of that, and so I'm just I'm enjoying 4 or 5 days on the tennis court and promoting this book. Got another one in the works. You know, you're always writing, so
Now let's talk. You know, again, being a senior playing a physical sport like tennis. It's something we also talked a lot about when I joined you with Lou in the morning. The Sports Doctor is in, where we would talk about making sure that we're really in the right shoes, for example, for the sport. Tennis is very physical. You got to strengthen those feet and ankles, work on balance. You remember me hitting you on all that stuff, don't you, Lou?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? The best part about it is true. You start, in fact, we mentioned in the book, and by the way, you have a quote in there. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but there is a quote. And I got it from your other book, but the fact of the matter is your base, you have to start with a quality base because you, from a physical standpoint, because physicality depends on what you do from feet up, not necessarily from shoulders down.
No, but it's interesting. We meet in the middle. Right? When you're talking about whether it's the top down or whether it's the bottom up. But yes, we make a very, very big deal. And of course, I was honored to be included in endorsing the book, you know, winning the head game. But like when we were talking about at any level in physical sports, we need to get, here's my sports podiatrist coming out of me, Lou. We got to strengthen those feet and ankles. We got to pay attention to that. We got to work on balance. We got to work on stability. When we're running and jumping and landing and moving around, and the that's great to hear that you're back out on that tennis court numerous times a week, and the probably every time you turn around, you're looking to deal and include the head game in your own strategy, I would assume.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Doc. Let me give those two websites. The book is available at Amazon, but an autographed copy. You can do winheadgame.com or louvickerybooks.com. Either place, you can find it. As I said, it may take us a couple of weeks to get a copy out because we've just been backed up. And, hey, that's the kind of things that you like to occur.
It always
makes me feel good.
Absolutely. And, again, you know, this topic is very, very important. When we're dealing with the kinds of changes right smack in the middle, you mentioned COVID. You know, Lou, everybody I have on the show, anywhere in the world, no matter what their profession is, no matter what their level of what they're dealing with, they talk so much about mental health and the challenges we've had and the kids, these athletes, the season's on, the season's off, with all of these kinds of challenges. So, again, the whole mental side of things, again, becomes, you know, such a big deal, especially when we're talking about a topic that was always near and dear to me, which was parenting the young athlete and dealing with some of these elite kids who earlier and earlier are playing more, much more aggressive, and we start running into these problems of overuse injuries. Baseball is famous for it. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had the team doctor, Dr. Brian Cole, is the team orthopedist with the Bulls and White Sox, and I've had on, talking about Yankees, the Yankees team physician, Dr. Chris Ahmad, a couple of times in the past. They could find those shows on the website, and they were talking about Tommy John surgery on teenagers. flu. They were talking again about those kinds of challenges. So this is a very, very big topic. And even the mental challenge of coming back, you know, from injury in that type of a situation. Give us a few more bullets before we run out of time. A few bullets from the book.
Well, you know, the big thing that I think that comes from the book is to understand that it is a steady progression, starting with the personal side, what you need to do to develop personally, then what you need to do when you're between the lines, what you need to do basically afterwards. All that is in a form of preparation that you, as I like to call it, the will to prepare. Coach Barabine always
says,
it's not just the will to prepare. You've got to have the will to prepare, but you've got to have the will to want to prepare. And that's, I think, is a significant factor.
And, you know, as well as I know, the fact of the that there is a process that these young athletes can follow, getting their families and their coaches involved, again, to train these systems in order to be able to, first of all, be aware about the importance of some of these things. Again, we're talking habits. We're talking discipline. We're talking, what was that phrase you just used? The will to prepare?
Will to prepare, right.
I like that. That really says an awful lot, especially if you're dealing with, again, young athletes with big-time aspirations, and you're talking about what it takes to excel, whether it's high school, but especially college and scholarships, let alone the 1 out of 1,000 that make it to the major league. So, Luke, quickly, give me the website again for the book before we run out of time.
Win Head Game, just WinHead Game.com, or Lou Vickery, LOUVICKERY, books.com, or you can find it at Amazon.
Fantastic. Lou, hold on. Lou Vickery, Yankees, Cardinals, author. Hold on, Lou. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of 2 daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into 4 sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. You live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics.
Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Everybody, hey, welcome back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I'm excited about welcoming Sonny Smith. He is the famed former head basketball coach at Auburn University, Virginia Tech, East Tennessee. He is the color analyst for Auburn basketball. He is the co-author of with Lou Vickery, who we just finished with in the new book, Winning the Head Game. Sonny Smith, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. I don't know if I can follow a guy like Lou Vickery, but
he's
I'm
a tough
do
guy.
This I can.
I tell you, but he's a tough guy to follow, but he's a big fan of yours. I'll tell you that. Sonny, could you give us some quickie background on you and your illustrious career that's led you to take part in this new book?
Well, I'm from the mountains of East Tennessee. I went through an early age in my life with a lot of physical type of illnesses that got me off to a slow start, but I had to go a long road to get to where I was, could get an education and be a player that I needed to be. And I had to start in small mountainous type schools, or he ended up to be mountainous, but I had to start in small schools, and I built my way up, and I think some of it was a little bit of luck, and I think everybody ought to think about things like that. I was such a good player in semi-pro type action that it made everybody think I was a better coach, and it got me better jobs. And following the advice of people like Vic Bubas, Jerry West, that were close to, they started my career for me. So I say that most every time I speak about Vic Bubas. I don't know if you're familiar with that name, but a great coach at Duke University.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, of course, you know, spending so much of a career not only becoming a great player, understanding what it takes to get to that level, both physically and mentally, as well as your all these years' experience of working with young, aspiring athletes, where you really, you know, on the Sports Doctor for over 20 years, Sonny, I call it the mental game. Everything from superstars to coaches to the parents of young athletes, the mental game is such a big deal in so many ways, and this is one of the exciting things. You know, I spent probably 3 years with Lou Vickery with his Lou in the Morning show. I'd come on once a month and talk about the Sports Doctor and the role of the foot and sports performance, overuse problems, et cetera. And we would talk an awful lot about the what we called, again, the mental game. So as you became a coach and you got so involved on that side of it, I'm sure it was something that you, again, you had to do it yourself to get to those levels. Pay big attention mentally.
Yes. The mental game, I think, to bring a little light to the coaching aspect of it as far as I'm concerned, I think when I started, I was more into the physical side of the game and didn't realize what the mental aspect of sports was. I never paced them on the same level or one a lot higher than the other. And after years of looking back, I wish that I had caught on to the rhythm of coaching, the physical and the mental aspect of it, a little bit better than I did. If I ever wrote a book, I'll say this, and it kind of tell you what I mean. I didn't know how to coach superstars, you know. And I think if I had gotten into the mental aspect of coaching more so than the physical aspect of it, I could have coached superstars. And I didn't. Sometimes you say that and you've never had one. Well, I'd never had many. But the ones that I did not know how to coach those people the way that I think. And if I had known the mental aspect of the game being what it is now and the way I understand, I think
I compare it, Sonny. I make a comparison to nutrition. When we see what a big deal nutrition has become today, what a huge deal it's become, and the mental game has grown along with it and its importance of being included big time. Athletes were told about, you know, the mental game, and they thought maybe there was something wrong. So the word psychology was scary to many of these athletes. Instead of it being understood as something that really could be an asset, it could be trained, it could be paid big attention to. Who are some of the superstars who passed by you, my friend?
I didn't have all that many. I started as an assistant at Virginia Tech. I had a guy named Alan Bristow who made it all the way to the pro level, also became a very successful pro coach. He was the first that I had a chance to coach. And I went by his room one time. He wouldn't let me in a room. And what he did, he was meditating. And I was thinking to myself, this guy's different.
Yeah.
And I think the guy
way ahead of his time. Ahead of his time. Yes. Now
I didn't know how to deal with a guy like that. And I think if I'd taken the approach that we're basically talking about here, I would have been a better coach.
Well, we've come a long way, baby. When it comes to the coaching of young kids, we spend a tremendous amount of time on the Sports Doctor talking about youth sports, Sonny. Talking about the challenges of overuse in whatever the sport is. Younger and younger, more and more pressure, more pressure to play, pressure on parents, pressure on coaches. So it's a pressure cooker. And many times we see that, you know, we've started to pay much, much more attention to the importance of listening to these kids, for example, on how they're doing, or listening to these players, getting some feedback. And understanding, how important it is. I know Lou in the first segment was talking about the will to prepare. And he was he's talking about aspects of the book that really mm-hmm. have been very important bullets to him.
Yes.
You know, discipline. When he was playing, and I always told Lou that his real claim to fame was that Whitey Ford was his pitching coach. And he agreed. I understand you crossed paths with, the great Denny Crum from Louisville, my alma mater, over the years.
I'll tell you a quick story. I was coaching at Pepperdine University, and I was hired as I was assistant at Pepperdine. And I'd left Pepperdine and headed to Virginia Tech, and because I'd coached high school basketball in Virginia a long time. But anyway, I'm walking down the hall of a hotel in Louisville, Kentucky, and here comes Denny. And he's got a great player with him. I wish I could call his name, but he went to the pros, but I can't. But he looked at me and said, "What are you doing here, son?" He thought, I said, "Well, I left Pepperdine. I'm coaching." He said, "Well, I was trying to call you. I was going to hire you to come with me to Louisville." And one phone call from Denny Crum, I don't know if he would remember this today, but I think he would. And
Been. Who knows who he's walking with? Was it Purvis Ellison or
Murphy?
I
think his last name was Murphy. I'm glad you asked that.
Maybe it was
Alan Murphy. Maybe does that sound correct?
Oh, yes, Alan Houston.
Alan, yeah, he was walking with him, and
Alan Houston, yes, who became the his son was in his class was the junior coach. Again, another great traditional program. You know the pressure of college basketball, and again Auburn, a great tradition, great football tradition, great basketball tradition. I would assume that the pressure at that kind of level as a coach, you had to really tune up some sports psychology, didn't you?
No question, and I didn't do it enough. As I say right now, if I were writing a book I would write it about how to coach superstars because I didn't know. And
They could apply. I think what they need to do is they need to read this, your present book. What were some of the goals you had, you know, like you're talking about in winning the head game? Some of the things that really stand out to you that you were looking to include, because you have a lot of input in the book. What are some of the things that were really important to you to include?
Talking with Lou about it when he first decided to do this type of thing, I looked at it from a competition standpoint. And I said, well, as a coach, I spent more time on the physical side of it than I did on the mental side of it. And I think in this book, it shows that you have to have a balance between the mental aspect of coaching as well as the physical, and also the preparation has to be. Early in your career, you're slanted too much to the physical, not enough to the mental. And I think that this book would indicate that you should spend more time
Now, being in Chicago for all of these years with the great Michael Jordan years, and got to experience Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson was exactly, you know, he made a big meditation. They read different books. He paid the huge attention to the mental side. Of course, in the beginning, years ago, they thought he was, some kind of a nut in that situation where people said, come on, you know, the physical is much, much, much more important. And I know Lou gave the website of the book. Sonny, do you have it in front of you? Is it winningtheheadgame.com?
Yes, winningtheheadgame.com. And louvickery.com, I believe, was one of the other names that was there. I'm not sure exactly, but this book was good for me because I learned a lot listening to 47 years as a coach. You have to be out and listen to somebody else talk about the phases that go into coaching or participating, competing, and you find out there's a lot of things that you didn't know. And Lou Vickery helped me a lot with that, not so much in just writing his book, just listening to him talk. Here's a guy that would have been a major league pitcher and very, very good if it hadn't been for an arm deal that he had. And, you know, and he'd been there. He never gave up. And to listen to how he prepared himself to play through the minor league places that he went, and for me, I needed somebody to boost me a little bit on from that type of an aspect.
He's a champion. He's a champion in that regard. We're going to talk a little bit about what you think about how things have changed over the years when we come back. We're talking with the great famed basketball coach, called the commentator or Auburn basketball, Sonny Smith. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking with Sonny Smith. He is the famed former head basketball coach at Auburn University. He coaches Virginia Tech, East Tennessee. I think, 40-plus year coaching career. He now is the color analyst for Auburn basketball. Of course, he's the co-author of the book "Winning the Head Game," and I want to ask you, Sonny, about now that you're the you're the analyst, you're seeing again the new type of player, the new type of coaching.
Yes.
Do you find that a lot of the lessons in the book For instance, everybody on the team is going to read the book, or how's the attitude? And what kind of changes have you seen from when you were first coaching again to the kind of attitude of these kids and these players in today's game?
More emphasis on preparing a player in a way that's not all physical. I think when we first started coaching, we spent all of our time driving physically, getting in their head from a standpoint of playing harder. I don't know.
More is better, right? More is better.
But now I think the game has changed now. There's more to coaching than the physical part of it. That's kind of a simple way to say it. But I tell people all the time, I was Charles Barkley's coach. I did not know how to coach a superstar. Of course, Charles didn't know he's going to be one, but I knew how good he could be. Didn't know how to touch those points to make him be the player that he turned out to be. And that had a lot to do with this. Go ahead.
Different kind of player. I don't want to date myself, but Wes Unseld was around my time starting to play at the University of Louisville. You know, guy 6'8", something like that. It could rebound with the best and whatever. And Barkley was a tremendous talent, Barkley. And he might even be a better talent now as a commentator, don't you think? He's great.
He's terrific. People, I think, I didn't realize, and he put me in that category too, how intelligent that guy is. If I had listened to him on how to coach him, I would have been a better coach. I did not. I tried to drive him. I tried to make him lose weight. I tried to do everything too much slanted towards the physical, not enough towards communicating.
That's a great lesson, though. It's really a great lesson. You probably didn't stop saying, Charles, I want you to be down to a body type like Michael Jordan. Got to lose 23 pounds. Drive him nuts. You know, but the idea, again, of the experience of some of these players, the demands, I would imagine, again, your whole coaching career, you were dealing with families of these players. That, you know, the head game and that the whole dynamic of the families, you had to be a good psychologist, Sonny, right?
Right. And I think about the things that are in this book that I wish I had used back in the day. I would have been a better coach, and I would have been a better coach quicker. I ended up the end of my career being better as a coach than I was at the start of my career because I was more physical than I was the whole atmosphere. Well, I don't know, the whole deal that you have to go through.
You know, especially today's game, you have 6'11" guys shooting three-pointers, running faster than anybody ever did. The athleticism of the game has exploded, both the women and the men. And again, the tendency for overuse injuries, the season sometimes is so long, extended seasons, the playoffs, et cetera. It's a real job. And this is why, again, you know, Sonny, in talking again about the game of basketball, here's my pearl from the sports doctor for you with your players and whatever. Is two things. One, strengthen those feet and ankles always, consistently.
Yes.
I don't care how strong or whatever. And work balance, work stability. Stop all the running and jumping and overkill and work balance and strengthen those feet and ankles. That's my pearl for the day. For you, Sonny.
That's a great pearl. You should put that out there every day because I've seen ankles. You do. I've seen ankles just turn players' careers and coaches' careers around in a downward spiral, by the way.
It's still the most injured area. And again, if you want to be quicker, more explosive, faster, that's one of the places you really, really want to start to include in whatever program that you're doing. Interesting. It's a different story now with some of the NCAA changes. Again, talk about head games. some of the fact that players maybe can be compensated. I want to say good luck to you. But what are some of the buzz and attitudes around, again, college basketball with this whole new stuff?
I think the first thought, and I'm saying this from the standpoint of being a coach, I think the coach, with the way things are slanted right now, I think the coach has lost control of
a lot of stuff, yes.
Yeah, of a lot of stuff, right. And how he deals with it, I think, is going to be very important on how he, the success that he has from now on. Because I think coaching the athlete now that can have all these major, potentially money-making deals that they can have, I think he's going to be harder to coach than he was before. And how to do it, there are the things that you're talking about, Doctor, and the thing they need to listen to more so than the physical play.
Plus, you know, the superstars, again, Louisville, Rick Pitino, and, you know, some of Coach K and some of these other superstar coaches, millions and millions of dollars, shoe contracts. So the pressure on the coaches, I always had said, when we've had many times coaches over the years, it's a tinderbox. You know, you got to win, baby. And all of these kinds of crazy pressures. How'd you navigate that over 40-something years, man?
I think you put everything, put proper emphasis on the things that should be at the top of the list from a standpoint of emphasis. That sounds crazy, but I think sometimes you get to listening to the outside influences, what you hear, what you see, what you're looking at. Like starting out at Auburn, going out to play the first few games and handful of fans there. You know, do you spend more time getting fans in the stand, or do you go follow it the way you did to get that Auburn job and turn it into one that could be a winner? Auburn was
known as
a football school, and
so you
realize what I was dealing with in that situation. So I had to learn a lot of things that you're teaching right here and talking about.
In this day and age still, where you have the football schools and the basketball schools, although, again, many of these schools are multifaceted, successful in so many areas. But, again, these traditions, so that's a great point when you say, of course, you and everybody else around you knew, hey, Sonny, this is a football school. I mean, hey, we're happy for you.
But,
right? But I don't think you heard me, Sonny. It's a football school. But I'm still thinking about Charles Barkley and the tremendous career that he had. And I think he put you guys on the map.
Well, he did. I had a player before him named Chuck Person that could have been that guy. But I think Charles's attitude drew attention to him more so than the abilities that he had, and Chuck did not. And so, you know, who was wrong? Charles put people in the stands. Chuck would score 27 points and he wouldn't put the people in. Charles would with 10 because of the way they scored the 10 points and the way they made the fans react.
And of course, the pressure, again, the head game, everywhere we look, it's the head game. The pressure economically at a big time program is immense. The idea, again, the attendance and all of these things in the community, it's such a big time economic challenge. And again, that's something where is a real, that you know, part of the mental game and the head game, to say the least.
Oh, no question about that. You think about the football programs that have to chase the basketball programs like it was at Louisville. Basketball was the king. You know that from being there. Basketball was the king. Football did the chasing. And that's the way a lot of basketball coaches have had to do today. And the things that they do, they can find in this book they wish they had done, or they did do them extremely well. Denny Crum would be a great example of that.
Yeah. Huggins at West Virginia. You were at Virginia Tech. That's okay.
Yeah, but like you said, Virginia had so many great teams. I was the first guy to offer Bobby Huggins a scholarship. I was a coach.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I was assistant coach at Pepperdine. And I got on Bobby because his dad.
Sonny, I can't believe it. I gotta cut you off. Give me the is the website the winningtheheadgame.com for the book?
I don't have it in front of me, so I better not say right offhand because.
All right. Anyway, yeah, we talked about it.
Lose the man to talk about that.
Cut you. Hey, Sonny Smith. Famed basketball coach, color commentator, Auburn University co-author. Hold on, Sonny. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor, and the Sports Doctor is in segment where we preview some upcoming shows, guests, answer a few emails, dig into sometimes aspects of the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. And as always, we have some great shows coming up over the next couple of weeks. By the way, if you want to get in an email, you email me drryl@yahoo.com. Next week, returning the communications director of the National Alliance of Youth Sports, Greg Bach. NAYS, as we call them, they've been around since the early 80s. Pioneers in organizations that coach coaches, work with park districts, so many different community sports organizations, the armed forces they've been involved with for years. So we're excited to have Greg back, as well as one of the backers of the Sports Doctor, Rich Dubin, is the publisher of both Lower Extremity Review Magazine, just celebrated their 11th anniversary, and the new on the block, quarterly MVP Parent Magazine, which will include and does include a Sports Doctor is in segment. And Rich will also be teaming up with us on that show. A lot of excitement around MVP Parent Magazine. The following week, Dimitri, she is the CEO of Synergistic Six, which is a group that is very involved in experts in so many fields. We're going to be talking sports, technology, and the business relationship with Demetra. And then Trish Critchin. Trish is a friend who has become an advocate for disabilities in children. Her own son, who had an amputation at an early, early age, and is such a champion as a young man. Matthew Legstrong, we call him. She's going to talk a lot about some of the challenges and things that are being done with some of these great families dealing with some of these different disabilities. So some great shows are coming up. A few emails. Linda Says my 11-year-old daughter is a very good figure skater. She skates 5-6 days a week. I want your opinion on custom boots. I think it's a gold program, Linda. Custom boots are custom fit. And in the right hands, they definitely are a step up from any of the over-the-counter, even in semi-custom. What custom boots are not are orthotic devices that we like to put in boots. They don't have much to do with foot-ankle alignment, but they definitely are something for proper foot, or rather fit. So this is something that I recommend. A lot of times we'll see that we have specifics with one of the skaters, wide ball of the foot, narrow heel, other kinds of areas, anatomy of the foot ankle that really benefit from custom boots. So what you want to make sure is that you're dealing with somebody who really, really knows what he's doing. One of the country's best, as a matter of fact, Mr. Edge, John Hermata, who I've worked with for 30-something years. He's coming on the end of October, so we're going to be talking the world of figure skating and boots. Nick says, my 13-year-old son is a serious club volleyball player. He's been dealing with Osgood Schlatter. How important are his shoes and foot mechanics? Osgood Schlatter is a condition where the bones grow faster than the soft tissue. Young boy or girl shoots up a few inches in their adolescent years, and all of a sudden there is pressure on the attachment of the kneecap tendon, the patella tendon, and the tibia and the shin bone. So all of a sudden that attachment is aggravated. It's tight. It's got traction. When there is that condition, which requires some rest, sometimes physical therapy can help. We have found over the years that foot mechanics is something to pay attention to. If this kid has pronated or overpronated feet and which has increasing torque in the lower leg, it's an aggravator. And I've had great success over the years when we've added orthotics to everything else that was being done. So pay attention to including that analysis. What is the foot mechanics with your son? He's got high arches, he's got pronated feet, and many times orthotics. Especially if the problem is consistent. I don't care if he's got perfect feet. Orthotics can be a weapon. Gary says, can my 12-year-old son, who's a serious club tennis player, use over-the-counter arch supports? Yes, Gary, he can. Things like Superfeet, some of the Scholl's devices, we've had good success with. I use them as temporaries with a capital T. If we see some support alignment mechanism is important, and it always is, then the best way we can stay out of trouble, whatever the sport is with your son or daughter, is look at adding podiatry so that you can be paying attention to, is your son or daughter in the best shoe for their foot mechanics or foot type, and what is the benefit of orthotics? I have found great benefit in reducing stress, areas that hurt, and many times the surprise to a lot of people is that with young girls, half the girls I see in figure skating, running, volleyball, tennis, have knee trouble. And I'm a sports podiatrist. That's the connection between the role of the foot many times and knee problems. So include that.
1 minute.
Over the counter, good idea to see whether any kind of support is helpful, but I would follow through if this is what you're going to do. Over-the-counter is not custom. It's shoe size. I think we're about out of time. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll catch you next week. Thank you.